You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hi, welcome to A Gay and a Non-Gay. Before we start, I just wanted to talk about something that happened last week. So a friend of ours, Joe Lyons, who I've known since university and has been working at Capital, he suddenly passed away last week, which is just heartbreaking, really. So I just felt that I should mention that before we started this week, because it feels weird not to. We did student radio together, which is probably, for a lot of us, was the most formative thing that we ever did in our lives. And I always remember the first time that Joe came into the office, because he was just so, so passionate and so enthusiastic. I just wanted to say how sad it is that Joe's gone, because he was just such a nice guy. All right, I'm done.
A Gay and a Non-Gay is a podcast from James Barr and Dan Hudson. Two unlikely friends take on the world.
Now for a gear change, I guess. I do deal with anything by laughing at it.
Is it just a British thing? Maybe.
I think so.
Oh, God, we can't talk about Northern Ireland again. I remember that time that we were so traumatised by that gay conversion man we met that we just laughed for a whole day.
Yeah.
An entire day, just Dan and I laughing.
Stop it. Stop it. Dan and I aren't feeling very serious right now because...
Welcome to A Gay and a Non-Gay.
If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you'll know that Dan likes to think that he has coined all these really cool catchphrases. Like, he thinks that he is responsible single-handedly for coming up with the word Gaysian.
I mean, I didn't come up with it necessarily, but I definitely was involved in the spread of it.
Right. And you are responsible for the word spaff hitting the mainstream. I mean, we've all heard that word recently. That's down to you using it pretty much every week since this podcast started.
Thanks very much.
Even Boris Johnson said it.
£60 million I saw was being spaffed up the wall.
Another one of yours is, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take the credit for that, obviously.
But you literally have taken the credit for that.
I didn't invent that phrase, but you were accusing me of stealing it from someone on Love Island, which is a program I've never seen. So there's no way that that was true. So whilst I did rope in someone from Birmingham to support me on that argument, that was more to point out that my use of it predates Love Island man's use of it. Anyway, can I play that clip? Because I love it.
So, Dan, literally for maybe 8-9 years, maybe even more than that, you've always said, it is what it is. YSY. You are the epitome of it is what it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
But you coined it, you owned it, you are responsible for spreading it around the West Midlands and beyond.
The use of that phrase in the West Midlands is attributable to not just me, but me and a group of friends, yeah.
Well, I was watching the incredible Jonathan Swan interview with Donald Trump on HBO.
Right.
And I don't know if you noticed, but about 6 minutes in, he's talking about coronavirus and how damaged the US is right now because of it. And his reply is,
I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And it is what it is.
So I just wondered how you're feeling about the fact that your catchphrase has gone worldwide.
That phrase is so ingrained now in the culture that it's not really...
The culture.
Why is the culture?
I just don't think. No, it's just funny, isn't it? The culture. It's so ingrained in the cultures, guys. Like, it's all over the cultures.
You familiar with, like, filler phrases?
Right, it's a phrase to just say when you don't want to answer something. So would you say that a person using that phrase on the regular is just avoiding any kind of responsibility?
In this context, yeah.
And in your context?
Well, no.
When I ask you stuff like, how's your long-distance relationship? And you just say, it is what it is that not the same context?
No, because it's really boring for 99% of people. And, like, I mean, it is what it is, isn't it? So...
Why is it not interesting? Why is your relationship not interesting, but mine is interesting?
I've never actually said that it is interesting, have I?
Wow.
It is what it is. So you've just got it in my head now, so now it's just...
Yeah, but you're now quoting Donald Trump. Like, are you happy with that?
That's not his phrase.
Well, you literally are. You're quoting Trump.
What,
so it's like when your mum joined Facebook, you had to get off Facebook for a bit because it was just embarrassing. Well, Trump has now joined the Israelis.
Oh, really? Is
crew.
That... Yeah, that's a real possibility. I better hope he doesn't start saying Gaysian. And did you see this thing? I cannot understand why this is not all over the internet. But he gave this bizarre press conference where he stormed off. And as he stormed off, YMCA starts playing over the PA.
Right.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much.
I don't know why YMCA is playing. I just don't understand. That's got to be someone having a joke.
Why?
Press conferences, firstly, don't end with songs, let alone the sort of biggest pop camp anthem that there is.
Why is the YMCA a gay song?
Well, I didn't say that, but...
No, but it is, though, isn't it? I mean, let's be real, that's kind of what you're insinuating, and it is gay. I don't know if I've ever actually watched it. I just remember it always coming on when I was a kid and people being like, oh, you got to dance to it because you're the gay one. I mean, I hate that song. If I ever hear that song, I recoil because I'm like, ugh. Unlike I'm Coming Out, which is clearly massively gay. And actually, did you know I'm Coming Out wasn't recorded as a gay anthem, by the way?
Yeah, we've talked about this on the podcast. I thought it was I'm Coming Up.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. I'm Coming Up. So anyway, it always came on and everyone would make me dance to it. And if we were at church or whatever, like after when I was like 15, 16, it was like, oh, you're the gay one, so this is your song.
What Wedding. Churches have you been going to? I like YMCA.
Do you?
Yeah. I actually like almost anything that makes someone else uncomfortable.
Why does it make other people uncomfortable?
Because people don't like it, do they? Because it is like ultra cheesy or whatever.
By whatever, do you mean gay?
No, I don't actually necessarily mean that. No, I mean, because I didn't know that for a long time, for the first 15 years or whatever of listening to that tune. It's just a really cheesy pop song, isn't it? On, right. In addition to being whatever else. You've got literally two sets of people. People who absolutely love it and people who absolutely hate it.
And so I just you dance that with like your lad mates?
I'm sure I would have done. Like, I've been to weddings, haven't I? I've dropped it myself at weddings. Like, how can you not?
The idea of you dropping YMCA at a wedding is so funny.
Why?
I don't
what else?
Know.
What else am I going to bloody drop? I'm not going to start sit there playing Lamb of God, am I?
I mean, I'd take that over YMCA. Here's the thing, though, because you're right. At Pride in London, I would have danced to it with you, and it would have been hilarious. But I guess that's because I'm with my people. It's when straight people play it as a token of goodwill that I think annoys me. Where they're like, "Oh, I'll play this because there's a gay here. Here you go." Same with Dancing Queen, ABBA. It's like, oh, there's a gay person here. Let's get Dancing Queen on. It's sort of like saying, oh, I know gay people. Anyway, none of this explains why Donald Trump wanted to play the YMCA when he walked off stage.
Well, I don't think he necessarily had a say in it. I think whoever's running the tech for that just press play on the YMCA for whatever reason. They must have been doing it as a joke. The YMCA has been added to the US Library of Congress National Recording Registry. Because of how culturally significant it is.
Thanks for that.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Talking to gay clubs, Dan's mate got in touch with him recently to complain about a club in London, which I think is so funny, that they came to you.
Why is that you're funny?
You're not Jeremy Joseph, are you?
Who's Jeremy Joseph?
He runs the biggest gay club in the UK. I don't know how you don't see that as funny.
Anyway, his correspondence reads as follows. I'm just having a chat with my girlfriend who, excluding me, has spent most of her life going out with women. She's really angry about how she was treated during her youth at a gay club in London. She was tempted to contact them about the time she was rejected by them because she, and I quote, didn't look gay enough. It's something that annoys her even now. She wants to contact the club, but her cousin and I think it's genuinely fruitless. Is this something you and James could advise against or maybe even chat about? She feels genuinely discriminated against. And as a straight person, I'm trying to empathise, but equally, I don't really feel like I fully understand.
Right, so this has literally happened to me so many times. This feels like normal, so it's kind of surprising to me that... And it's valid, but it's surprising that your friend's girlfriend is so bothered by that and so upset by that that she's living with it even now, because I've just considered it as normal, which is terrible, but I have. I've seen that happen so many times and just thought, oh yeah, that's normal. I think if I can... I'm not saying it's right, but... I think I can see why this kind of thing happens.
I'm a bit lost. So you're saying that you haven't been let into venues because you don't look gay enough?
Oh, no. I've definitely been allowed into venues because I look gay enough.
I was going to say, how gay have you got to be? Have you got to be one of the village people?
Wahey!
But I've heard and seen people be asked that in front of me in the queue, behind me in the queue. I've had my sister ask that when trying to go into a gay club. I remember telling my sister when she first came to a club, you might have to kiss your girlfriend because otherwise they won't believe you're gay. And her friend laughed or whatever. But she'd be there with her boyfriend, so I'd say to him, like, oh, so if anyone asks, like, we're together and those two are together.
Right, sure.
I mean, you say that like that's fine.
Well, no, it's not fine, but I'm not in the list of things that bouncers do. It's just another thing to add to the list, isn't it?
It is, yeah, I guess so. It's funny that it does happen in gay venues, but I think it's because they're trying to keep it majority gay.
Yeah.
So I've always forgiven it as just part of the course. Like, I've always just thought, well, actually, it's probably a good thing, but it isn't. I mean, it obviously isn't good if they're literally saying to someone, you don't look gay enough, prove that you're gay, and then forcing them to make out with a girl or make out with a boy. And I can see why that would be so hurtful if you're bisexual, because they're erasing bisexuality on the door, aren't they? They're saying,
yeah,
you don't look gay, you don't look lesbian, you don't look like a gay man. So they're kind of forgetting that bi people exist. And actually, why shouldn't a gay venue, a safe space for LGBTQ+ people, be inclusive to bisexual people and allow bisexual people in? As they would a gay person. Like, it is wrong to just look at someone and make an assumption, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it is part of protecting that gay scene and keeping safe spaces for LGBT people safe. Unfortunately, that does mean, though, that you're erasing bisexual people, potentially trans people also. So it shouldn't happen, but I kind of get why it did or does happen. There's another problem as well that has happened a lot, and... this has been talked about quite a bit in London, where straight women of a certain age infiltrate gay venues and see it as like a big party and take pictures of gay men. They're like, oh, we're with the gays. Oh, it's so fabulous. Oh, my God. I mean, they're probably Karens, to be fair. And that's really wrong, too, because you're kind of trivializing our scene and making us like a tourist moment. And it's like hen party, bachelorette party culture that's just not okay, really. That is a genuine concern, I guess, if you're on the door. How many straight women are you letting in? How many straight men are you letting in? Because they need to make sure that it's still an LGBTQ+ venue. But really, if I'm honest, I don't think gay clubs or gay bars are that LGBTQ+. I don't think they are a safe space for LGBTQ+ people. I think they're more about just gay men. I mean, that might just be the venues I'm going to, but mostly I don't often see gay women.
There's probably an element of truth, but equally you're probably going to venues that are for gay men.
Yeah, but there's definitely more of them than there are lesbian venues.
The thing that jumps out about this to me is the fact that it's happened quite a long time ago, but yet she's still upset about it, which I remember getting... sacked from a job and completely unfairly. Not only that, I was made to take my uniform off, which at the time, the actual time it was happening, I didn't think was that bad. But like, ever since, I've been like, why did I let that happen? Like, how degrading.
Wow.
There's absolutely no way that would happen to me now. I'd be lawyered up and straight back in there the next day.
Lawyered up.
Well, yeah, because it's the principle, isn't it?
You don't feel the need to go back and like call them out for it now?
Well, no, because it doesn't... Well, I do actually, on one hand, but I haven't. The headline is, living well is the best revenge. And I live very well, so he may have won that tiny battle, but like, I've absolutely decimated him in the war. I now don't need to piss on him on the battlefield.
What on earth was all of that? It's actually not something I'd really thought about until I read that message. So I'm glad that she messaged. I'm glad that your friend messaged us, because actually now, if I see that, I can call it out and I can say to the bouncer ahead of the queue, yo, what if they're bisexual? Why do they have to prove they're gay? I think I just said yo to sort of assimilate with you.
Thanks.
And make you more comfortable. Sorry.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening to the podcast this week. This has been a gay and a non-gay. And last week we had, to play us out, we had a poem. This week, actually, we're going to get played out again.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if you've noticed this, James, but I was listening to our theme tune the other day, the gay and a non-gay theme by Bright Light, Bright Light. And I noticed it sounds remarkably similar to YMCA. And
I mean, you know why that is? Because when he asked me what I wanted our theme to sound like, I actually said, could you make like a new version of YMCA?
Did you?
I hate it, but I thought, I was like, what's the gayest thing I could possibly inflict upon you? So I went with the YMCA. Oh, this has backfired so badly.
The lyrics to YMCA really do fit very nicely over the gay and non-gay theme. So to play us out this week, are you ready?
Not really.
It's me, Dan Hudson.
Why?
One, to celebrate the inclusion of YMCA into the US Library of Congress National Recording Registry because of how significant it is culturally. But also because James Barr's gay. So here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Join in when you can.
What?
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I say, young man, pick yourself off the ground. I say, young man, because you're in a new town. There's no need to be unhappy, young man. There's a place you can go. I said, young man, when you're short on your dough, you can stay there. And I'm sure you will find many ways to have a good time. All right, here we go. YMCA.
Oh, someone hold my purse.
Everybody in the building that I live in, bearing in mind it's 6:30, so everybody is in.
Yeah, they're like, what? Is someone coming out downstairs?
Thanks for listening, babes. Do the admin and support a gay and a non-gay. Visit gaynongay.com/donate.